Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for allowing us all to be here. Lord, we thank you for what we've already witnessed this morning. We thank you for these young people. And Lord, we know that that's the future of your church. That's the future of our nation. Lord, we pray that we would always have time for them. And that I thank you for these that are willing to work with them, giving their time. It means so much, and it will mean so much to them in their future lives. Lord, we pray right now that you would prepare our hearts for the message you have your brother Cal bring us this morning. Pray that we would apply it to our lives, take it from this place, and use it. Thank you so much for what you do for us and your many blessings. These things I ask in your name. Amen.
Have a Bible this morning, be finding John chapter 16 verse 33. Thank you for that prayer, Mark. You know, prayer really works, doesn't it? Prayer matters. My wife is sitting here because of prayer this morning. Many of you have had the church praying for you and your family member over the last few months, and I'm here to tell you, prayer works. Prayer matters. By the way, our bold intercessory prayer team is going out after. We're going to get mobile. And we're going out to Woodlawn after Sunday school today to pray over Cindy Shelton. Anybody that would like to do that, you're welcome to go with us. But when you find John 16, verse 33, let's stand one more time as we honor God's word. John 16, 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world." Let me say that again. That in me you may have peace in the world. Now, I wish we didn't have the rest of this, but it's here. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Father, take your word and honor it today. Teach us, Lord. Fill us. And give us the courage to say yes to Jesus and follow him. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to talk to you about a very sobering subject in this Truth About Truth sermon series. I want to talk to you this morning about the problem of evil. The problem of evil and suffering. And you know, Jesus said in this world we would have trouble. That we will have trials, tribulation. That we would have a mess. And you know what? He was right. He was right. And you know, in my short time here on earth, I have personally experienced evil and seen and experienced pain and suffering. I have stood with a broken-hearted family as they looked into the casket of their little small child who was killed by some terrible circumstances or tragedy. I'll never forget the death and destruction and seeing it firsthand after Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. And then Hurricane Ida has just had her way. And just a couple of few weeks ago, Diane and I drove through Waverly and looked at all the death and destruction left behind by that tidal wave of rising floodwaters in Waverly. And I was in Alabama just several years ago when over 100 tornadoes swept through three or four counties. It looked like a bomb went off down there. I've stood beside families when the doctor came in the room and said it's cancer. I've done funerals of suicide victims. I've watched wives turn into widows overnight. Missionary families martyred for their faith. Teenagers killed by drunk drivers. Senseless terrorist shootings and killings in our world today. Child and spousal abuse, broken relationships, broken homes, betrayal, heartache. I could go on and on and on and on this morning. And I think the number one question that a lot of people want to ask God is, why is there evil, pain, and suffering in the world? I mean, if God is an all-powerful, all-loving, all-sufficient God, why is there evil, pain, and suffering in this world? I mean, if God is so good, why is the world so bad? Now, having said that, that's the elephant in the room this morning, especially with all that's going on in this season of COVID, right? But I think most of us can handle when bad things happen to bad people. Oh, don't sit out here and look all spiritual, y'all. I think we can handle when bad things happen to bad, and we like when good things happen to good people. And we can even, in a sense, put up with when good things happen to bad people. But what we really have trouble with is when bad things happen to good people. Right? I mean, don't we have an issue with that? We really do. And, you know, I want you to... Now, this is a topical message today. And I don't do well normally with that. But we needed to address this subject. And so I want you to go to Genesis 1:31. I hope you have your Bibles this morning, because we will look at several different passages of Scripture. I want to say up front, this will tick some of you off, and that's going to upset me so bad I'm probably only going to have half a dozen eggs in the morning for breakfast. But look at Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. So that verse alone tells us that God did not create and make evil, pain, and suffering in this world. God did not create evil. That's what, I mean, everything He made, everything He created, it was good. And can I say amen to that? Now, He gave us a free will so that we could choose to love Him. And you all know the story. We chose to reject Him and walk away from Him in the garden. And when we did that, evil was introduced into our lives and our world. And, you know, I think about the poster child for the good person in the Bible who had bad things happen to them. You remember him? His name was Job, that's right. And the Bible says that Job was a very righteous man. He was a just man. He was on the inside what he claimed to be on the outside. He was a man of great character. No one could dig up any dirt on Job. He was righteous, religious, respected, and he was revered by everyone in his day. There was no one else quite like him. Even God bragged on Job. Imagine that. And yet, you would think if anyone could get a break or get a pass, it would be Job, right? But in one day, he lost his family, his finances, his farm, even his fitness. Job lost it all. And get this, Job didn't lose everything because he was doing everything wrong, but because he was doing everything right. Think about that. And so, in all of Scripture, God never explains why we have evil and why we have suffering in the world. As a matter of fact, He tells us in Job 38, verses 4 through 11. We won't turn those, but you can mark that down in your notes. Read it when you get home. God does not owe us an explanation for anything. God doesn't owe us an explanation for anything. And yet, I think it is almost the epitome or the height or the folly of ignorance at best for the finite, that would be us, to question the infinite. For creation to question the Creator. And yet, how can a human being have the perspective of an eternal God? Just because we don't see a purpose for evil and suffering does not mean that there's not an explanation that exists. Are you with me so far? Three people? Are y'all with me over here? Stay with me. You got to stay along. You got to stay on track with me here. We're going somewhere, okay? Now, I just want to lay out three truths for you when you're considering the problem of evil and suffering in the world. Without God, there can be no true goodness. Without God, there can be no true good. You know, what a lot of folks in our world today says, well, you know, there must not be a God, because if there was a good God and a holy God and a loving God, we wouldn't have all this evil in the world. And so they claim to be an atheist or agnostic at best. Right? And so that's the question that a lot of people are asking today. Look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, look at chapter 10. Let me hear those pages. Let me see those phones. Mark 10 and verse 18. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." You see, without God, there is no standard of what true goodness is. He is the epitome of what it means to be good. That's God is how we measure goodness. And without God, good and bad, right and wrong are just kind of personal opinions. But we do have God. But to say that since evil exists, God must not exist, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I want you to lean in. I want everybody to get this morning right here. Since evil exists, God must also exist. Why? Because without good, there is no evil. And without God, there is no good. Now let me say that again so you can wrap your mind around what I just got through saying. Since evil exists, God has to exist. Why? Because without good in the world, there is no evil. And without God, there is no goodness. Are you tracking with me? Some of y'all look like a calf staring up at the moon. I want y'all to get this. You've got to get this. The existence of evil does not pose a problem for me. And it shouldn't pose a problem for you. And I don't think it does anything to pose an issue for faith in a loving God as much as it bolsters our faith in such a God. And I see God's goodness everywhere. I see God's goodness in y'all. He must not know me. I see God's goodness at work in our people. I could use a lot of different expressions this morning. But I got a call from Tad Ketch this week. And Tad was giddy. Y'all know what giddy means? I mean, he was just laughing and crying all at the same time. And you see, what you may not know is Tad Ketch has been waiting on a kidney for a year and a half. Well, it really even longer than that, but a kidney for a year and a half. He needs one. He's on dialysis. And Tad's a young guy. I say he's young. Amen. And so he's been waiting on this kidney, and he needs one. And his sweet daughter-in-law was willing to give her kidney so that Tad could get a new kidney. But wound up through circumstantial stuff that Katie's kidney wasn't a good match for Tad. But since she was going to give a kidney to someone else that might need it, Tad was going to be able to get one. Are y'all following that? Now, I want you to see the goodness of God here. Now, so Tad calls me. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I'm going to get a new kidney. That's what he told me. And he said, they've called. And he said, now, he said all of this. He caps this in terms. He said, now, you know, it's not a done deal until you're there on the table fixing to get that new kidney. And he called me back in about an hour. And he said, this is going to be a roller coaster ride. They called to tell me that this kidney is not going to be available any longer because it's not a good match for me. He's way up here, and now he's way down here. But you know what your husband said? I was so stinking proud of him. He said, Brother Cal, he said, thank you for praying. Y'all keep praying. He said, really, this doesn't have anything to do with me. He said, God is in control of whether I get a new kidney or whether I don't get a kidney. God is in control. Do you understand where I'm coming from? The goodness of God is available, and I see it each and every day. And just because we've got evil and pain and suffering doesn't mean that God's not a good God. All right, that's the first truth I want you to wrap your heart around. Here's the second one. I don't want to throw a big word on y'all, but do you know what omniscient means? It means all-knowing. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God is omniscient, and we are not. Here it is. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You see, we're finite. He's infinite. Okay? Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our great God has has unlimited knowledge. He has unlimited understanding. He's got unlimited wisdom. God is a know-it-all. There isn't anything you cannot teach God. You can't teach God anything because He knows it all. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He has all understanding. And the only way to know that evil has a right to exist is to have knowledge of everything in the universe and beyond, and we don't have that, but God does. Are we going somewhere now? All right. And so we must allow, because He's omniscient and we're not, we must allow for the possibility that God's purposes can best be fulfilled and God's glory can best be on display in a world where evil and suffering exist. I think this is what Proverbs 16:4 is talking about. Let me get that for us. Proverbs 16:4 says this: The Lord has made all for Himself, Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. My seminary preaching professor used to say, God's so big he bumps into himself. God is so big and so large and so all-knowing and so all-sufficient and so all-understanding that he is able somehow, even with the existence of evil and pain and suffering in the world, is able to use that to accomplish his purposes and reveal his glory. Did he create evil? No. But somehow he is large enough and big enough and great enough and supernatural enough to even use evil and pain and suffering for his glory and our good, which leads to the last point this morning. God uses evil and suffering for his purpose and glory. Now, if you would, let's go to Genesis. Can we go to Genesis? It doesn't matter if you want to or not, that's where we're going. I want you all to see this. God uses evil and suffering. Now, he's omniscient and we're not. And without God, there's no true good. And the last thing I think we need to wrap our hearts around this morning is God uses evil and suffering for his purpose and his glory. Look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. Now, this is Joseph speaking. But as for you, he's speaking to his brothers, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. What that verse is teaching us today is simply this, is that God does things for two reasons, for his glory and our good. Now, God's primary concern is his glory. But whenever he seems to do something for his glory, it seems like we always benefit. It's Romans 8:28. God does things for his glory, and whenever he decides to show out and show up and shine for his glory, we get something good out of that. Is there anyone in the Bible that illustrates? Yes, Joseph illustrates this great truth for us. Joseph repeatedly got what he did not deserve over and over and over again. Joseph's brothers, out of a fit of rage and hate and jealousy, sold Joseph, their brother, into slavery. And Joseph was taken down to Egypt, a foreign land, and sold into slavery to the captain of the guard. He was sold as a slave there to Potiphar. And over time, Joseph was such a wonderful, spirit-filled man that he became the household, the estate manager of Potiphar's place. And y'all all know the story. Potiphar's wife, hello, had the hots for Joseph. And I shouldn't say it quite that way. Not in church, you know. Anyways, he was accused falsely that he had raped Potiphar's wife. And so Potiphar had him thrown in where? In prison. In jail. And Joseph was there falsely. He didn't commit any crime. He didn't deserve it. And he's there in prison for the next 13 years. Joseph made the right choices. He made the right decisions. He chose the right path, made the right call, and still got burned. And it seemed that God was nowhere around. But through an incredible turn of events, there was an inmate that got to telling Pharaoh about Joseph. And in a matter of about 15 minutes, Joseph went from the bottom of the prison house to the penthouse in the palace. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, Why? So that his family might be saved through a worldwide famine. Now, Joseph gives a discourse on evil 101. Look. How many of you have the Word of God somewhere close by? I want you to see this. Genesis 45. Listen to what he tells his brothers. Genesis 45, 7 and 8. And God, who? He's talking again to his brothers here. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity, a remnant for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. It was God that sent Joseph to Egypt. It was God that put Joseph in Potiphar's house. It was God that put Joseph in jail and in prison. And it was God who, through the evil actions of his brothers, that God, what his brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. And that is the ultimate end of all evil. Y'all didn't get it? God meant it for good. And let me just tell you, whenever evil comes to your doorstep, whenever pain and suffering come your way, God is so great and he is so good that he can use that pain and suffering. He can use that junk that we hate to put up with. He can use it for his glory and our good. Yeah, give God some praise. Now, let me give you one other example. Jesus. He is the greatest example of how God uses evil and takes it and turns it around for his glory and our good. The most evil, despicable act in human history is the cross. That is the most evil act ever perpetrated on anyone. Jesus was innocent, and yet he was placed on a cruel Roman cross. It's the greatest picture of evil and suffering that the world has ever seen. Jesus paid the highest price ever paid for undeserved wickedness, pain, suffering, and anguish. And if God had not allowed, the greatest evil that the human race has ever seen, the greatest good would never have been accomplished. Complete forgiveness and eternal life. You see how God uses evil and suffering and pain to accomplish his purposes? And it displays his glory? If it wasn't for Jesus, hell would still be out in front of us. These trials and tribulations, all they serve to test our faith and grow us into the kind of men and women that God wants us to be. Let me read Job to you. I've got it right here. Job 23 and verse 10 says, Job speaking of God, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And you can lay claim to that verse yourself. Because pain and suffering and trouble and trial and tribulation is coming your way. But God can take that trouble that comes into your life and use it for your good to display his glory in your life. Real faith doesn't have to understand why. Just trust God. God's big enough to handle our whys. But there's something bigger that God wants to do in suffering and pain and evil. You know what he wants to do? He wants us to ask what? What is it I need to learn through all of this? And I love, y'all, what Romans 8:18 says. It reminds us that these trials and these sufferings that we're going through today, that we experience, hallelujah, be worth it all when we see Jesus. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. And here's the bottom line. Are you ready to see Jesus? I mean, are you really ready? Are you ready? Or are you just kind of playing this game? Are you ready? Job said, I shall come forth as gold after God has tested me. You may be going through a test this morning and you don't understand what it's all about, but I have come here today to tell you, God is with you. And He can take this tragedy, this trouble that you're going through, and He can turn it around into something unbelievably marvelous for His glory and for your good and mine. I'm so thankful for Jesus today. I am so thankful for Jesus. Would you just bow your head with me right where you sit, please? I don't know what's going on in your life, but God does. And it's decision time. This has been one of the craziest weeks I've had since we moved back to Clarksville. It's been one thing after the next. But I want to tell you, God is being glorified through things. I don't understand evil. I don't understand pain and suffering, but guess who does? He does. Because He loved us enough to send His Son to take all the evil and the wrath of our sin upon Himself. And it just may be that you're here today and you're struggling. You know it and God knows it. And God has provided a time for people to pray over you and pray with you. But in order for us to do that, for that to take place, you've got to step out of your comfort zone and just admit you need prayer this morning. And in just a moment, when Andrew leads us, we're going to sing a hymn of response. And if you're in some tough shape today, some tough trial, I want to ask you just to get out of your seat and come forward. It's time we all just admit we're all a mess and we need Jesus and we need God's people. And I want to ask you to just come and we'll pray over you. I've got some bold intercessory prayer ministers. We've got some deacons and wives here. We've got leadership that'd be glad to pray over you and for you. But you need to come. And if you're not sure about your salvation, if you're not ready to see Jesus, friend, I'd love to share with you how you can leave here born again, saved. Father, this is your time. Use it for your glory. Use it for our good. We don't understand everything that needs, with all these questions we have. But we know that you're a good God and that you're a loving God. And that you're big enough to use all these issues that are going on for your glory and our good. And we just want to exercise our faith this morning and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar's open. You come if you need prayer. If you're in a struggle, in a battle, you come. As we stand and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.